right. Well, good morning, everyone. Good, thank you. Hey, just for a few minutes for this morning, guys, go back to Luke chapter 9. We're going to finish the thought that Jesus was giving. Remember, he just asked the disciples, who do people say that I am? Everyone gives an opinion. He says, well, what about you? Who do you say I am? And Peter's the only one that answered. He said, you're God's Messiah. You're the anointed one. You're the promised one. You're the one we've been waiting for. Guys, you have to remember that from the end of the Old Testament to Matthew, there's a 400-year gap where God didn't say anything. He didn't speak. So 400 years, people have been waiting. He says, you're the Messiah. And then he gives them that news that we talked about last night, everything that Jesus would endure, and then he would come back from the dead, and he'd have victory because of that. And then there's this temptation, friends, today, and I'm trying to wrap my head around it. I'm still working through things. Please know, guys, I'm still in process. Like, I'm always having conversations with Jesus all the time on things I don't understand, and this morning, even a time of confession, just felt like I dropped the ball a little bit yesterday in some things in my walk with him. But it's weird how often we'll hear people use the phrase, well, I'm a believer. But I don't know that we're ever called to just be that. Like, in the book of James, James writes, he says, the demons believe in God and they shudder. Like, they respond in their belief in God. There's a response. That's faith. A response to belief is faith. So for us to just say, when people go, well, they're not walking with the Lord, but they're a believer. Believer in what, though? Believer in the gospel. But friends, we're called to go make disciples of Jesus. Not just believers in a message, but followers of Christ. That's what Jesus invites them to afterwards. You get to chapter 9, verse 23 in the book of Luke, and he says, then he said to them all. So this is a message for everyone, and I think it's a message for all of us. To just say I'm a believer that Jesus died and came back from the dead, that is not what's required for salvation and relationship with God. That's the second half. It's the first part, and this is what it says. If anyone wants to follow after me, that's the beauty of the invitation. If anyone wants to come with me, let him deny himself. So what's that mean? Deny yourself. Remember I told you my wife had to go through cancer stuff, and so in the midst of the process, there's a couple-year process, she had to go get a scan, and she would get the results of the scan that day, but no one was there to watch the boys. They were taking a nap, so I had to stay home. So they're taking a nap, but she comes back, and I said, well, how'd it go? And we just kind of pictured it all been fine. And she just had this kind of solemn look on her face, which kind of makes your heart drop pretty quick. And she goes, They said they might have seen something on my brain now. My eyes got really big, and then no joke, right after she said that, almost without taking a breath, she goes, I need to go to the grocery store. And I'm like, you can't drop a bomb like that on me, and then like, I need to go buy some salami. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, why are you just taking off? And then she did. So I'm sitting there on the couch, and the boys are taking a nap. I'm all by myself. And the thought came in my mind of a buddy of mine. He preached a message. He preached this passage. You say, what does it mean to deny self? And I think we think it means this. Like, all the good things in life, we bear hug, right? My wife, my kids, the ministry I get to be part of. I love being a pastor. I love getting to preach his word. All these good things I keep, and I protect them from all the bad that comes. And he said, we think that's denying self. That's just self-denial. Denying self means I don't bear hug anything. Denying self means I do this to God with everything. And that thought popped in my head. And I remember I sat there and, man, I cried. I don't tear up a lot. It's not because I'm like much. I just don't. It's just not the norm thing. But I'm starting to get even more a little emotional as I get older. And I just took my hands and I slammed them on my lap. And I said, God, she's yours. Like, if you want to take her home, who am I to get in your way? But if you do, you better help me with the pain. Friends, to deny self means that everything belongs to him. Everything. Nothing belongs to me. It's all his. Deny self, pick up your cross. Does anybody have a cross, like a charm as a, for a necklace? Anybody? Yeah. Okay, cool. Does anybody have an electric chair charm? No? No? You don't have one of those? No one's put that on their neck? It's like, hey, I just want to show you. Got an electric chair. This is great. Guys, you realize in the first century, no one wore a cross. When Jesus said that, no one had a cross as a charm. Why? Because the only thing that people thought of when you thought of the cross was execution. Friends, execution. So when he says, pick up your cross daily, he's like, pick up your death daily. This might cost you everything. That's why he says you have to count the cost. Jesus has to be worth it, right? In order to give up everything. Nothing belongs to me. God, even my life belongs to you. Whatever you want, whatever you want. Deny yourself, pick up your cross daily. And then he says, follow me. Guys, that I think is my favorite part of the whole thing. Why? Because God's not saying, Jesus isn't looking at you going, I'll see you on the other side. He's like, come with me. And do you realize he did every single thing that he requires of us? He denied himself. He picked up his cross, literally. Died, like I explained last night, came back from the dead. And then the invitation is to come with him, not go before him. Just go, come with him. Be with him. Spend time with him. This is where I finish. Years and years and years ago. Well, not years and years. Maybe 6 or 7. I remember I preached that message I preached last night. And I finished it up. And usually at this camp I would speak it at, they have a time where the kids stay in the chapel area and they kind of work through their stuff. And whenever that happens, I just run to the back and I sit in the back and I watch. I used to be the guy's like, I'll answer all your questions because I thought that people needed me. Now I just sit in the back and I watch what God does among the people. It's awesome. I love it. But this time, before I could get off the stage, like a 15-year-old guy comes walking up to me and goes, hey, Brian, can I ask you a question? So I said, sure. So I sat down on the stage, and he starts getting emotional on me. And he said, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. He goes, I don't feel worthy. And in my head, I went, it's not a question. I don't know why I even thought that. That's not a question. He's like, I don't feel worthy, and he's starting to cry. And I looked at him, and I said, you're not. And all of a sudden, this is when he goes, okay, thanks. He starts to walk away. And so I grabbed him by his shoulder, legally and gently, and I brought him back over here. I said, come here. I'm not done. I said, listen, you and I, we are not worthy of what it is that Jesus did for us. But the cross is God's declaration that you're worth it. I said, do you see the difference? He just teared up. I said, we're not worthy of this. But the cross just screams on God's behalf. To Jesus, you were worth it. You were worth all of that. And you have to come to the conclusion, is Jesus worth it? Because if he's worth it, then you'll say, I will deny myself. I will pick up my cross daily. And I will follow after him because it's a love affair with your Creator and not just a belief in a system. We're called to follow, not just believe. The world needs to see what followers of Jesus look like. Can I pray for us? We'll go back into a song and then Jared will come up and explain what's up for the rest of the morning. Let me pray for us. Jesus, I thank you for the invitation to follow you. Not just believe in you, not just believe in the gospel, but to follow you. It blows my mind still, God. You don't tell us to do it by ourselves. You don't tell us to figure it out. You invite us to come with you. What an honor. What a joy. Father, I pray for those who made decisions last night that you would protect them from the enemy who would desire to take what they heard before it takes root. They want to take, he wants to take all this away. God, please protect our minds and our hearts. Would we hold on to your truth? Would you help us to hold on to your truth no matter what? God, would you continue to reveal more of who you are to us? That we would sit and look at you and say, you are so worth it. And as you reveal more, you are so worth it. I will sacrifice everything for you because you're worth it. And Jesus, I thank you that you deem us worth it. I love you, God. I love you so much. I love these students, and I'm so thankful that they're here and the work that you're doing in them. Holy Spirit, would you give us boldness and courage? Would you help us to live by grace through faith? Faith in you and your ability. And I thank you, God, that you who began the good work in us, you will carry it to completion until the day that you return. And so, God, we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, for you alone are worthy. We pray this in Jesus' name, and everyone who agrees says, amen.